Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. It's time now for the C-Note Cowboys news of the evening. Do it most afternoons, 3:20. But we were in the midst of Rangers postgame today when that happened, so we're going to get it in here for you. Football Fix coming up at 5 o'clock with Wolchuk and, you know, G-Bag of the Day and LA Live coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as well. And then Fan After Dark coming up at 7, and USA Bosnia starting at the same time. We're going to start with a Twitter back and forth. Always so interesting when you hear from the teammates of players, of Cowboys, former Cowboys. But this guy, Dak Dynasty, he just threw it out that Rashawn Gary's 100% the real deal and had some clip or some gif or something in there of Rashawn Gary. And, you know, it was just one of those appreciation posts that you throw out in the offseason or whatever for your guys. And so Terrence Parsons, Micah's brother, responds, definitely can stop the run, but outside of that, y'all are going to bleep around and find out. You know, that's even a stronger criticism than I think anybody has levied against the Rashawn Gary.
Find out.
So, I mean, and there's a topic in there. You know, if you want to talk about is going after edge players that are more apt to fit the run than go after the quarterback what you want to be doing, because it really kind of seems like the Cowboys are making a massive pivot to we need everybody on our front to be able to stop the run as a schematic preference. But how much can you afford to not value pure pass rush ability? But I mean, Rashawn Gary, we checked it yesterday, has 3 seasons with 9 sacks or more.
Yeah.
And, you know, had quite a few last year in the first half of the season. But, well, anyway, Okoye Media, a Cowboys content creator out there, absolutely went after Terrence Parsons and said, you really expose your brother as a bad teammate every time you speak on Rashawn Gary. If he was on point, he'd tell you not to say the crazy stuff. But the fact that it continues lets me know that he's okay with it. At Penn State, he was a bad teammate. Dallas, D-Law, and Hooker proved he was a distraction and tried to play his own quarterback. So anyway, he goes on and has a very entertaining post that you can read verbatim yourself. But I think it's a pretty good point about the quality of Micah Parsons as a teammate. But also he brings up a pretty good Rashawn Gary discussion.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that that's a big reason why Mike is not here anymore, was the fact that he wasn't a very good teammate, and there were certain players within the locker room that did like Micah, and there were plenty that didn't, and I think some very important voices that didn't as to why he's not here. But, look, it doesn't change the fact that he's a phenomenal player, and there was no doubt that he was their best pass rusher on the team, and he's one of the best in the NFL. I do think when you just look at the defenses the past 2 seasons that have won the Super Bowl, I think it's proven that if you just have a surplus and you got a lot of guys that are good, you don't have to have that one alpha that can be a Myles Garrett or a Micah or, hell, even a Max Crosby and go be your 15 to 25 sack guy. I think, you know, when you have Josh Sweat leading the team at 8, and then you have 4 or 5 other guys that are getting you, you know, 5 or 6, I think it's all about we're kind of doing this by committee. But if we're a team that's going to line up and we're going to get absolutely bullied and have the ball run down our throat come January, that's a fast way to get you balanced from the playoffs. And unfortunately, that happened to the Cowboys a lot. So I think I'm for this pivot. I think Rashawn Gary is a solid pass rusher. I think he's a good all-around player, much like Tank was. But he's not Micah, who's going to give you 15 sacks a year. That's not him. So if that's your expectation, then that's a silly one to have, and you've only got yourself to blame. But when you add in Malachi Lawrence, and you add in Quinnen Williams, and you add in Sam Williams or James Houston or whatever anyone else is able to give you, hopefully, plus the next level of guys, blitzing, Barham, yeah, Overshown, Caleb Downs, all these other guys where they can deploy players, now can, as a team, can you get to be, you know, a top 12 to 15 sack type team?
So a lot of the criticism today is about Micah's run defense, and a lot of Cowboys fans piling on there and, you know, saying you're not a good player if you're hunting sacks like this. And, you know, so schematically, how much are you willing to forego pass rush in order to get run defense? Would you consider Micah Parsons an overpay at $47 million? Must you be a Max Crosby or Myles Garrett playing both equally as dominant to be paid at the top of your position at this particular spot? What do you guys think?
No, I mean, I think that Micah is so good at pass rushing that it makes sense that he made the dollar figure that he did. I mean, you can argue that you don't want to really pay a player that much because the money has ballooned so much for the edge rushers. So I can totally understand that. He's still a top two or three pass rusher when healthy in the NFL, and there's a ton of value in that. But, you know.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Being able to spread the wealth a little bit on the salary cap and have a defense that is, you know, consistently filled with good players without the great dominant edge rusher. I can understand that. I can. And when it comes to the Cowboys right now, Rashawn Gary is going to be a plus player.
What just happened?
Belgium just scored twice in the last Holy 3 crap. Minutes of
wow.
this match.
We are equal in Seattle, 2-2. Senegal was wrapping up a round of 32 victory 3 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And now they are, you know, likely staring down extra time if they can survive the next 5 minutes. With this maybe they'll just go on and win it now.
The fans are vomiting in the stands right now.
Not
they
even
can't
that
believe
is
stopping.
Unbelievable.
It is crazy how Belgium, I mean, the whole match has basically been doing nothing. And then the last 3 minutes they've played as brilliantly as you could play with some of the crosses, they've gotten Senegal on their heels, and they got the equalizer. Oh, what a poor play by the goalie.
Keeper
there.
Came out and
yeah.
didn't get the ball. Tackled the guy heading it, but the ball slips right over the goalkeeper's head and in for the equalizer now in the 90th minute in Seattle. Wow, what a tournament.
Gosh.
What a game.
Jeez.
That is amazing.
And this
dude.
Means something because if the United States gets through, right, they
play.
That's
who they play.
That's
the winner.
Who they play, yeah.
Yeah, I think Belgium's ranked around 9th and Senegal's around 18th or something like that. So it's not like either one of the opponents is going to be easy, but you would much prefer to play Senegal, who, again, the USA did defeat in a tune-up game 3 weeks ago. Alrighty.
So there is some history there.
Yeah.
So you wanted Senegal to win this one.
I do. Yeah, I do. And I guess they still could, you know. But momentum has swung so sufficiently. I suppose now, you know, it comes down to their strategy. I'd like to see them, you know, both sides play to win. There was a commentator earlier today that said, man, these teams that are playing to not lose are getting sent home early consistently. We're 4 or 5 days in here to the knockout phase, and the team's trying to play conservative, like, we got this, let's just not concede. They're being punished for their cowardice.
That's another example of the 2-0 lead being the worst lead in soccer.
Mm. It is, dude. My goodness. And I said 30 minutes ago it's nearly insurmountable, but once you lose, once they score first, the momentum can change in a hurry, and it absolutely has. Okay, Ted Wynn did his five defenses poised to break out in 2026. Are you going to talk about this in the Football Fix World, Chuck? One of them is the Cowboys, and he says, it is difficult to climb out of the bottom tier of defenses to become a good one, but last season the Seahawks went from good to elite, and the Jags went from bad to top 10. There is precedent for it. Says, for this sort of defensive structure to work, you must have a front capable of defending the run from a light box.
Yeah.
That's why the Cowboys are willing to forego pass rush. We want to be able to defend the run from a light box and free up our linebackers to make plays, but more importantly, our secondary to play games with the quarterback. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys have that with defensive tackles Quinnen and Kenny and the new edge. Rashawn Gary's been inconsistent as a pass rusher, but he's a strong run defender. Jayshon Barham, depending on how he develops, can give them a move piece linebacker who will allow Parker to stem the Cowboys' front, similar to what Zach Bond does for the Eagles. He's drawn it up. Ted Wynn believes the Cowboys are one of the five defenses to break out compared to what they were last year. He's also got the Colts in week 1-7. When DeForest Buckner and Charvarius Ward were healthy, the Colts ranked fourth in defensive EPA per play. That's interesting. They also added C.J. Allen and A.J. Halsey, a linebacker and safety. The Panthers, who weren't bad last year, although they ended up 22nd in defensive DVOA, they added Jalen Phillips and Devin Lloyd. The Bears added Devin Bush. They get Kyler Gordon, their nickel, healthy, and they drafted Dylan Thienemann, and they signed Kobe Bryant off Seattle. I would be surprised if the Bears make a leap, considering how bad they were in a lot of places last year. But why not? Dennis Allen's pretty good DC. And the Titans, they added Jermaine Johnson, Keldrick Falk, John Franklin Myers, Alante Taylor, and Robert Saleh is their new coach. That bodes well there for a defensive uptrend there in Tennessee. That convinced me. All right, we got 2 hours of show left. Wolchuk, where are you taking us next?
Let's do a little football fix. The Cowboys have the best wide receiver duo. We got dueling lists. Where do they come in? And the Big House might be in jeopardy. That's next to the Nation.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality Gaze,
let's love.